Blog Talk Radio.
Good day and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's Jacqueline Richards speaking to you from Canada's capital city, Ottawa, and happy to have you in tune with Mastermind Radio 101. I know you've read about who our next guest is, and I'm sure you're excited about having her chat about her journey in an incredible life experience. And let me just check before I continue on. Kathy, are you on the line? Well, let's just see.
I certainly am here. I'm here.
Perfect.
Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Now, hold on. I just need to tell the listeners a little bit about the show. The idea for the show, Mastermind Radio 101, the concept of Mastermind was actually coined by Napoleon Hill. And he wrote the, among many things, the novel Think and Grow Rich. It's almost 100 years ago he wrote this, or certainly started his research.
Yeah.
He thought it would be a brilliant idea, he and Andrew Carnegie, to find out how the best became the best, how the best structured their journey so that they would be known, that they could be wealthy and healthy and wise, and not just that, pass that on along to generations that will come after them. Napoleon Hill, brilliant man, wrote a brilliant book, and if you don't have it, you should find it, whether it's hardcover or downloadable on my website, JacquelineRichards.com, you can download Think and Grow Rich, and you'll find that concept in and around Chapter 6, where he talks about brilliant, powerful men who understood what it is to take a journey that would impact mankind. So when I talk about Mastermind Radio, that is my thought process, the idea that anything that comes out of this show will touch absolutely everyone. And it doesn't matter how big or how small that nugget of golden information was, just that as long as you have it. Again, I'm Jacqueline Richards. I am a mortgage consultant, a Hatha yoga instructor, and author of Yoga for Your Personal Finances. And on this beautiful day, Kathy Grant is here to hang out with us. And let me tell you a little bit about Kathy, a good friend of mine here in the nation's capital. But you know what? She travels everywhere. And you want to hear the sounds, you want to hear, you want to shake her hand. She's done extraordinary things. So Kathy is the CEO of KGM Enterprises, and you can find that at kathygrant.org. There's a whole lot of wonderful information there about her. She, at the age of 13, and we're going to talk about this, was a featured soloist on an island of her church's first studio recording. Can you believe that at 13? The church's first studio recording, and there she is, singing with all her heart and might. As the president of KGM Enterprises, she runs, it's a multi-million, I don't know, Kathy, you'll have to
You're
let us
speaking in faith now, Jacqueline, and I receive that. Thank you.
a multimedia conglomerate, and she incorporates all of her business activities, including she's a model, and when you take a look at her pictures, you know it. She's an actress, a journalist. She hosts a show, a gospel show, Gospel Grooves, that you can find weekly on Canada's favorite Christian radio station, CHRI, 91.1 FM. And make sure you tune in Sundays between 7 and 11 p.m. You can find that she is a philanthropist. She believes in helping people take their steps, recruiting them into I would say, coming into their own passions. And we'll talk more about that because you don't want to hear me babble. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Kathy's voice. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jackie. It's so great to be on the radio with you. You know, quite often I interview my guests, and I'm not usually, you know, on the other side of the table. So this is a real pleasure for me to be joining you on the air on Blog Talk Radio. Mastermind Blog Talk Radio,
yeah.
Nonetheless. I'm really excited. I love the fact, I love what you do. And it's very similar to what I do. You just do it from a different angle. But it's such a great thing, you know, to give people the tools that they need to have a really successful life in whatever path that they choose, whatever journey that they're on. So it's great. I enjoy this. It's a great thing for me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I got to tell you how enlightened one becomes when they hear stories like yours as you continue through your passion and your journey. Now, I can talk. However, I would rather hear you update us and tell us, not from the website, but from your core, who do we get to speak to today? Who is Kathy Grant?
Well, you know, Jackie, that's a really good question, and I'm still in the process of discovering who that is. But just the other day, I was traveling back home, and I was thinking to myself that, you know what, I don't want to be anything other than the authentic me. I want to be the real me. I want to sing the real music that I like, that I enjoy. I don't want to sing what somebody else has said, well, this is, you know, this is what you should sing, this is what you should do. I want to do what is authentic to me at my core, at the very center of who I am, that I feel comfortable with, that I'm happy with that. That's what I want to do. And I don't want to do anything else. And now I'm trying, after discovering that, you know, ding, the light came on, and I have now this new sense of direction. It's not really a new sense, it's just an added, you know. And now that I have this added sense of understanding about who I am and what it is I really want to do, I'm like, okay, well, I got to get rid of this, and I got to get rid of that, and I, you know, and I'm going to get rid of these dead leaves. I don't know if you know about dead leaves, Jacqueline, but dead leaves are those things that, or individuals that hang on to you, or you just allow them to hang around or hang on. And what they do is they siphon energy. They take your life, you know.
That
and
is
you're,
so interesting.
You're trying to get life come up through the roots, and these guys,
yes.
You know, are just like hanging on to you. They're not doing anything. They're not beautifying you. They're not making you look good. They're actually making you look ugly because they're dead. And they're dry, but they're still hanging on. Have you seen trees like that, Jacqueline?
Oh, crazy trees. You know what? But once upon a time, those trees, they
uh-huh.
took their nourishment, right?
Yeah.
And they built that trunk. They built those branches, and they had those beautiful trees. And perhaps we can all speak to that. And what a beautiful analogy. Sometimes, in my world, I have had moments where I am that tree that's taking all that nourishment. But you know what? There's a moment where either the wind, the rain, whatever energy it is,
mm-hmm.
has allowed me, and you said it, has allowed me to have my leaves shrivel up.
Sure.
But
and there are a lot of things that are going to come and buffet you through circumstances and challenges. And somebody said to me one time, a few years ago, when I was in a very difficult moment. It was probably up until that point, the toughest thing I'd ever, ever, ever had to go through. And he came to support me in this moment. And, you know, it was like my Michael Jackson moment, you know. And he came over to me. He saw how completely beaten down I was, and he said, "Kathy, God's making an oak tree out of you." And that's all he had to say, because the analogy, the visual that I got was oak trees are strong and they stand regardless of the weather. You don't see an oak tree laying down after a windstorm. You know, an oak tree that's one of those toughest trees you'll ever come across. I mean, the roots are so deep, and this thing stands no matter what, you know? And so that's what he was telling me, that God was making an oak tree out of me.
There it is.
And I thought to myself, man, yeah, I wish he wouldn't do it right now. You know, I don't want to be an oak tree right now. I'm just so, it's just such a horrible place. But I'm thankful for that oak tree experience and the other ones that have come, because that wasn't the only tough thing I had to go through. I've had to go through a lot of tough things. But
and I'm going to back up just a wee bit with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would love to know more about, you are a songstress. How did you find out? I know I read that you were 13 when you did, was it your first?
It was my first, yes.
I
think I was 13. I was 11 when I joined. When I came to Canada, I was 10. And very shortly thereafter, I was asked to join the senior choir. And I was the youngest member of the senior choir.
And you're coming in from Jamaica?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And no, I do not have an accent. I lost my accent probably within the first year of being here because I was fairly young. And because my mother also completely objected to us speaking anything other than the absolute proper English. So outside of a couple of, you know, idiosyncratic word pronunciations, which fell off fairly shortly after arriving here in Canada, I have absolutely no accent. Now, I can conjure up one for you if you'd like, but I'm not going to do that today.
Oh, you know what? That's when we're sitting down eating some mackie and saltfish.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Then we can do that.
Or, you know, if I'm having a mango or something and I feel rather tropical, maybe I'll spew something out. But getting back to the music, yes, I think I was 13 when the choir decided to record that album. It might have been 1978, if I'm not mistaken. So yes, I do go back that way. But I go back even farther when I was 3. 10 years earlier, when I was 3, my aunt actually taped me. I don't know what device she had at the time, but she apparently taped me singing something. And then again, at the age of 5, she did it again. So it was understood quite early on that you know, singing was going to be a passion for me. And I grew up in a musical family. Both my parents were musical. My father is still alive. My mom has passed on. But I remember, you know, my mom singing, and she just had such a beautiful voice, and playing the piano, and my father also. I used to sit on my father's lap while he played, and he would teach me how to play certain things. And then we went to piano lessons as I got older. And so, yeah, it was, you know, singing was a passion. Music was a passion. It was just part of my family upbringing. It was, you know, part of being a Grant, really. And now that I look at the rest of our family, in particular on the Grant side, you know, I frequently get confused with another Grant here in the city who's my cousin, but they always confuse him and say he's my brother, but he's not.
Okay. All right. So there's lots of Grants, but none of them have the voice that you have.
There's only one Kathy Grant. That's it.
There we go.
Now, there are other Kathy Grants in the world, I've come to discover, but there's only one Kathy, KGMG. There's only one KGMG. That's
okay.
It. I mean, ain't no others.
All right. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, you're 3, you're 5, and you're 13. But I got to ask you just a real quick question.
Sure.
I'm seeing something here that says you had a connection with Mary J. Blige and Angie Stone. How did that happen?
Oh goodness. Well, that story is a very, very long story, which you don't have time on Mastermind Radio to go through, but I'll give you a very, very quick synopsis.
Okay.
And I'll have to go all the way back for you to really understand the significance of the whole thing. But yes, you understand from my early childhood and so on and so forth. Going into my adulthood, at the end of my college life, I had recorded an album with a gentleman from Toronto. Things did not go well. It was my first foray into the professional world of gospel music and the professional world of the music industry, and it was a bad one. So that sort of translated into other things which did not bode well as far as career moves for me. And that carried on from Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. In every industry and in every career path, you will find haters. And haters are there not to make you strong, so they think. They don't think they're there to make you strong. They think they're there to make you weak and fizzle, dry up, and die. That's what the haters, that's their purpose.
But you moved on, so...
But you as an individual, and I just want to stay here for a minute because this has been the crux of my life. You have to get beyond the haters and develop your own, haters help to make you into that oak tree as well. Like I said, lots of different circumstances and challenges help to develop the oak tree in you. So those haters really helped me to understand that I can be wiser, stronger, better, faster, healthier, livelier. I can do more. Because I have to be wittier. I have to outwit you. If I'm going to make it, if I'm going to stay alive and do what I believe I have been called to do, I've got to outwit you as a hater. So I have spent my life basically outwitting the haters, going around them, going underneath them, going over top of them, going through them. I'm like a ghost. I'm going to go right through you. You won't see me until... You look ahead and you're like, oh, my God, how did she get there? I've been asked that question so many times by people who said, how did you do that? And how did you get to sing for the president? Well, it's a long story, and I don't really have the time to tell y'all. But these are the things. How did you get to meet Bobby Jones? Well, it's a long story. I can't tell you all the story, but... You don't have the time to hear it, and you don't even want to hear it because really what you're trying to do is to find out how I did what I did so you can try to cut me off again because you're a hater. So these are the things I've spent time, doing, and in the course of trying to outwit the haters, I had an opportunity to meet my manager. And after meeting my manager, he brought me to New York City where he would develop me further. And in the course of being in New York, I met a number of people in the industry, both on the secular side and on the gospel side. And I met the gentleman who was the best friend of Malcolm X. I sang for Malcolm X Jr.'s birthday, his 21st birthday. I sang happy birthday to him, and I met the former mayor of New York, Mayor David Dinkins. I've met some incredible people. But in the course of all of that, I was introduced to this vocal coach, Craig Berry, who I found him on MySpace, interestingly enough.
Oh, a little bit of research.
Went to his studio, and we met, and he agreed that he would coach me. And then I came to find out that he also had sang with Michael Jackson. He had coached Mary J. Blige. Angie Stone was one of the individuals in a tour that he was singing with. And so it was just an incredible experience meeting him and learning from him. I utilized a lot of the techniques and the exercises that we did in my time with him. I utilize those now with my own students. So, well, there's so many stories, that, Jacqueline, that I could tell you, but...
Well, that means you have to come in and on another show, right? We have to set that up real soon.
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite gospel singer?
Oh, man, that is a tough question. You know, when I was 7 years old, Mahalia Jackson passed away. And I knew about Mahalia because we had some of her records, and so that was very sad for me. But they said that she was the most famous gospel singer in the whole world. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. And so I was always inspired by her. And as a little child also, Andre Crouch was a great inspiration to me too. There's so many legends and so many great, phenomenal gospel artists who have passed on, and some are still alive today. They're getting older, you know, they're not doing so well. But the younger ones, you know, I'd have to really categorize it into legendary status and young up and coming artists. The up and comers are phenomenal. Jay Moss, Fred Hammond, oh, John P. Key, you know, Karen Clark Sheard, Mary, I mean, you name them, they're all really great. Donnie McClurkin, BB and CC Winans, BB and CC are legends as far as I'm concerned, because I pretty much grew up on their music from, you know, my teenage years on up. But there's so many great artists, and it's hard now to really say who's going to be great, because the great ones, the ones who are great right now, they've been great for a while. Kirk Franklin, you know, he's almost current, but he's a legend already, you know. He's just broke so many records as a gospel artist. So it's hard to say who my favorite gospel artist is. I just have a lot, and I play a lot of them on the radio. I don't think I have a favorite. I just love them all.
Oh, see, that's brilliant. Now, as you came through the ranks, understanding that, you know what, I am a gospel singer and I want to be among the ranks of Mahalia Jackson, did you have a mentor who understood your path? Aside from your manager, Donnie Blanks, who would your mentor or mentors have been? You know, I refer to mastermind, and the definition is, you know, your own personal board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could suggest that you have your own board of directors, because they create that invisible hand to help you take your steps forward.
Well, you know what, Jackie, and I'm sitting here listening to you ask that question, and the only answer I have for you is G-O-D. I never did have a mentor here. In one of the things I find very striking about Canada, particularly in gospel, they really have not learned how to support each other and how to build each other up. So on the Canadian side, I have nobody that I could say, huh?
You're referring to the gospel entity, like
I'm referring to the arts and entertainment overall, whether it be in gospel or whether it be in the ministry, or I've not found one preacher. I have not found one individual, not one artist, that I could say has been there for me as somebody I could bounce something off, or or talk to, or you know, share my heart with. I have not been able to do that. However,
okay.
And there's no for me, a mentor is somebody that I look to, I look up to, and I think that they have they're someone that I can pattern, you know, my desires and my career after. I don't have that here, not in Canada. I came to meet Ambassador Dr. Bobbi Jones for the first time in 2006. And, 2006, for the very first time, I met him. And I sang at his showcase in Birmingham, Alabama. And I really came to appreciate Dr. Jones because of what I believe he espoused. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of negative things about Dr. Jones and about other people in the industry. And I needed to know for myself whether or not this man was truly what people were saying. And I took the time to observe him. I took the time to observe his actions and the way he spoke to people and what he did, and the way he then interacted after everything was said and done, after a long night of the show and everything else. And then he took time to interact with people, to take pictures, to, you know, just to have that moment to speak to everyone. And I thought to myself, now this guy is not what everybody has been saying about him. I like this guy. And I began to my heart began to warm towards him. And I then came to meet Dr. Jones again it was 2004. I'm so wrong. Again, I met him in 2005. The first time I met him was 2004. Second time I met him was 2005. And I met him that time in Florida. And I had not seen him between the first time and then. And I went up to him, and my hair was different. The first time I met him, I had short hair. And the second time I met him, I was wearing a long, wavy weave. And so my hair was long and everything. And I said to him, "Hey, Dr. Jones, how are you?" And he didn't know me from Adam. And he looked at me, and he said, "Hello, I remember you." And I said, "Really? You remember me?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Oh, that's so great. Thank you so much." And then I walked away and I left him and I let him do what he did. And ever since that time, I have seen Dr. Jones countless times after that. Great. And he always, I didn't know that he and my manager were such good friends. My manager turned out that he is the fashion coordinator for Dr. Jones. Well, at the time, I didn't know that, and I didn't know my manager either. I came to learn all that a little bit later on. But it turns out that Dr. Jones, every time we were planning to go to an event that Dr. Jones was having, Dr. Jones would always ask my manager, "Is Kathy coming? Is she coming? Does she have her hotel booked yet?" And my manager always say to me, like, "How come he's asking about you? He doesn't even ask me how I'm doing. But he want to know how you're doing. He want to know if you got your hotel booked. What's up with that?"
Now, why is that? Were you working with the doctor or?
No. No, but because I just believe that there was a connection. Because of what I had felt began to foster in my heart towards Dr. Jones, I just love him. I just loved him. I loved him, and I let him know that. I let him know. So, you know, there was a time at one of the retreats that we attended where he was asking people to make donations to this building that was being erected in his honor.
So what was the retreat?
It's the Dr. Bobbi Jones International Industry and Artist Retreat, where artists, gospel artists, and industry come together to meet, fellowship, sing, showcase, perform, and be educated about what's happening, the new things that are happening in the industry. And so we had attended a number of these, and at one particular one, he was asking us if we would be willing to support this building. And I went up and I gave him $50. It wasn't a lot of money. It was all, pretty much all the money I had. But I wanted him to know that I appreciated what he was, what he stood for, and what he was doing. And the fact that there was this building that was being erected in his honor, I just wanted him to know that I supported that. So I went up to him and I handed him $50, put it in his palm, and walked away. I think that, giving him that $50 meant so much to him. The mere fact that I am, and I think up until that point, I was the only Canadian that was in attendance at that retreat. And I had been the only Canadian for quite a number of years. So when they see me, they say, oh, here comes Miss Canada.
There it is.
They go, here she comes. That's Miss Canada coming. They have nothing else. There are no other Canadian gospel artists, and even though we have a lot, they're not represented at these international venues.
Now, to your credit, you did put together, because I was there, you organized the first annual.
Yes, we did, and we used the blueprint that Dr. Jones had the template from his conference and his retreat. That was our blueprint for our conference. And so we, of course, thankfully Dr. Jones was here. He came to Canada to support both my manager and I in our endeavor with the Canadian Gospel Music Conference. And it made such a great impact, I think, for us to have that, but we were disappointed because the industry here still, and I was talking to my manager about that this morning, they still do not get the sense that, in order for this industry to grow, you have to plant a seed, right, Jacqueline? I think I'm not saying nothing that you don't already know. You've got to plant a seed, and the seed is money. You've got to pay for something if you want value. And if you want to grow, you've got to plant that seed. And the industry here, they want everything for free. So they don't want to pay to showcase. In their mind, that's paying to play. So they don't want to do that. They don't want anything other than, if it's not free, they don't want to pay tickets. They don't want to buy a ticket price to come. They don't want to do any of that.
Okay.
So
back it up just a bit. If they, isn't it about people will pay for what they really want? And is that the issue that you're actually considering, that Canadians at this moment in our demographic are not, gospel music is not a favorite endeavor. We've got, we had punk rock, I think we still have punk rock. We have rock and roll, we've always had rock and roll. We have blues, we have jazz, we've gotten Latin music that's come up the airways. The question is, to me, does gospel music have an entity, a piece in every single musical endeavor? When I listen to jazz, I hear that energy. Would I consider that gospel in its fullest extent? I don't think so. However,
I think that for gospel, this conference was not for the secular world, okay? This conference was for the gospel world, for the gospel artists, for the gospel aficionado, for the preacher for, you know, for the church world. This conference was geared directly at them. Now, but the thing is, I'm sorry?
They did arrive. I mean, it was a first annual, so there must have been, it looked like you had a great turnout. To me,
they came, but not at the levels that we had expected. What we wanted to see was a real, you know, a support, not just from the audience, well, we'll come and we'll buy a ticket. What we had curiosity seekers. Oh, we just want to see if Dr. Jones is really going to come. We just want to see if he's really going to be here. So we had those people that came. And I'm sure for the rest of the ones that didn't come, they just didn't believe that he was going to be here. So they didn't come. And some of the ones who did come, they were family or whatever, and they just came with no expectation to pay for anything. So,
okay.
so it was one of those things.
It was something that you brought, which is something we can continue to talk about and hope that there will be another one.
There definitely will be another one. It's never over.
Absolutely.
And the fat lady hasn't sung yet, and I don't know any fat ladies. So it's going to be a while for anyone to come up in my world to start singing. But
so it just means
one of the positive things I want to say about the conference, Jacqueline, was that what we took away from it was that we knew that we had something that was bigger than what the general Canadian black churchified, I want to sing gospel audience can really handle. They can't handle it. So we have to take it down into smaller bites. That's what we learned. We thought that maybe they were sophisticated enough that they could handle it, but they're not sophisticated enough. That's a tragedy, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for us because now we can rejig what we have and really bring it down, break it down to smaller bites, smaller levels of understanding that they can, you know, they can take and receive, and eventually they will grow from that. But that means that it's going to keep us in the industry and keep us working and keep us employed for a long, long time. That's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. So you have all of these endeavors, which would include, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about CRED. Is that how I would say it?
Yes, CRED.
CRED, great. You know, this is something that I don't believe I've seen before, and you've got to tell us about it.
Well, I know I don't have a whole lot of time, but CRED is a method of helping young artists to develop their talents and their abilities so that they can have an understanding about what they need to do to create life for themselves as an artist right now and longevity in the future. So we really want to help young artists as well as older artists who have been in the game for a while, but maybe they're not as successful as they want to be, or perhaps, you know, they're looking at, you know, their life changing right now. Maybe they're in their 30s or their 40s and they're saying to themselves, well, you know, it's over now. I might as well just quit this thing, go get a day job or whatever. You know, how do we help people to transition from where they are right now into another career that can absolutely help them to continue to follow their dream, but perhaps on a slightly different path and still make money? So that's what CRED is about. It's it's about helping them put their career on the right path, because you really can't rely on one specific skill to have a successful career in the industry anymore. In today's industry, you have to be ready for whatever. You must develop yourself to appeal to a wider audience, and that wider audience will either bring you recognition and eventually longevity. And maybe it'll bring you recognition and longevity right now. I don't know. But my thing is, you know what? This whole world is a stage. And we want to help everyone, young and older, to become stage ready. And it's about being authentic. It's about being the authentic you, being stage ready as the you you are. You don't know who you truly are until you start asking yourself some questions. And the industry will make you ask those questions if you really give it a chance to do that. So that's what this is all about right now. It's about developing that sense of self, developing that sense of, you know, who you are. When somebody comes to you and they say, well, you can't sing, you can't do this, well, what do you do when you have an onslaught of haters? What do you do when, you know, you hear somebody else sing and you know that they sing better than you? Does that make you crumble? Or, you know they dance better than you. Does that make you trip up and fall every time you step out to do your little pirouette? You know, how are you going to handle those things mentally? What's the mental state that you have to be in? And this is really a lot of what CRED is going to be dealing with certainly the practical aspects of your artistry, but also how you got to stay in the game. How are you going to stay in the game if you don't have the mindset to stay in the game? So we're going to be talking about those things as well. Perfect. And I know you want to talk about my acting, and I'm really excited about that as well, because it's a whole new frontier for me. I did acting when I was in high school, but this is a new thing where I'm actually in front of the camera and I'm trying out my new camera chops, and I'm really excited about the possibilities. I have a new agent and I'm working with him, and so it's just exciting. That, you know, I thought that I could only sing. I thought that was my only thing I could ever do all my whole life. But I've discovered that I can model, and I can act, and I can host, and I can, you know,
it's
I can
brilliant.
Teach.
Exactly, and I wanted to come to that because I was at a function, Peggy McCall's launch, her book launch.
Yes.
And I was there with a couple of friends, colleagues, fellow book writers, and professionals. As I sit and watch the entertainment, this young woman shows up on the stage. Now, I'd seen her before, and, you know, no one pays a whole lot of attention because there's so much exciting things happening around. You know, we've got jewelry, we've got books, we've got psychics, we've got, you name it, she was there. This beautiful young woman gets on stage, and I was shocked at the extraordinary quality and the emotional intelligence that she had when she sang her song, only to turn to my left and see you in the front row. You were her coach, her instructor, her mentor, her guide.
Yeah.
I'm busy putting two and two together, and I heard that voice, and I know your voice, and I just thought, how extraordinary. What happiness that brought me to see her on stage doing exactly what you needed her to do.
Yeah.
She needed to do. That was stunning.
I was very, very proud, and I continue to be very proud. And I could share so many of the accolades that Samantha has brought. She's just won the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity's Talent Hunt competition for District 13, which includes Hawaii and a number of other states. And she won a whole bunch of things, like a couple thousand dollars, a Mac Notebook Pro, and I'm just so proud of her.
It's
and
amazing.
She goes on to compete at the Internationals in Raleigh, North Carolina, near the end of July. And I hope to, both my manager and I hope to attend because he's from Raleigh. And so we want to definitely go down there and support her. But she's a phenomenal young lady, and I have some other phenomenal students who also are, you know, growing, burgeoning young talents. And I'm just excited about the opportunity to coach them and give them, you know, the same kinds of chances to shine. Young lady who I'm going to be seeing perhaps this weekend by the name of Keza Ruzima, who's a young author, one of the youngest authors we have. She's her father's originally from Rwanda, so is she, I believe. She came to Canada and she's written her own book, her first book, quite a nice size book too. It's not no little baby, you know, 50 pages thing. It's a book. And she's traveled all over. She's heading to Rwanda to meet with the First Lady of Rwanda. And that's going to happen for her in August. I'm so excited that, you know, I may have the opportunity to coach her. She's a young, aspiring singer, actress, and all these other things. So I can't wait to get my happy little fingers on her and mold her into what I believe she can be, just an amazing talent. Hello?
Hello?
I thought maybe we got cut off.
No, I'm just listening to this amazing talent who's going to see the First Lady in Rwanda.
I'm very excited about that. And there's so many others. There's another young student that I'm coaching right now who is also herself a young burgeoning actress, and she wants to do everything. She wants to do TV. She's been on stage. She's been on a number of stage productions already, and musicals and other things. So, you know, I'm really excited about her. She had a nice breakthrough yesterday. She just, in one or two sessions, she's increased her range by almost half an octave.
And that's through the
That's pretty substantial, you know.
And
I think that within the next 2 or 3 months, she will have a 4-octave range. Period.
Amazing.
So I'm
amazing.
Excited about
so,
that.
So
you know, I'm excited about coaching these young kids and really giving them, you know, giving them that true sense of self and accomplishment, like, yeah, I can do this. And then, you know, whenever I have opportunities that come to me for them, you know, they can perform on a worthwhile, creditable stage. That's not just a recital stage where their parents come to. This is a stage where people from all over will come and hear them. Whenever I have those kinds of opportunities, I will absolutely give it to them and let them tear it up, just like Samantha.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Get on there at that book launch and just tear it up.
There we go. We have just a few more minutes left, so. I think people, need to know how to be in touch with you. Maybe it is to register for the Creative Entertainment Development courses that you're offering in August.
Okay, let me tell you very quickly, very briefly about that. CRED is, we really want to launch this out to our young artists and young performers, and we're very excited about doing it. It's going to be at Ashbury College in Rockcliffe, right here in the city of Ottawa. And if you know anything about Ashbury, it's the elite school of schools here in the city. We're very excited about that. CRED is registration is online. You can do it right there. We take PayPal, or you can send us a money order. It's going to be so much fun, so much fun. To get to that website, it's credbootcamp.com. That's CREDBOOTCAMP, credbootcamp.com, all one word. And you can see there's just so much information there, but if you'd like to register, you can go straight to the registration page, and send us your registration, and we'll be more than happy to coach your child or even your friend's child either way. And you can get to me at www.cathygrant.org. That's cathygrant.org. And there's, you know, any way, lots of ways you can call me. My number is there on my website. You can email me. You can, I don't know. There's, you know,
that's perfect.
There's,
all we have to do really is hit www.google.ca and find you too.
You can find me. There's a lot of websites and stuff that have me on there. You can also hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/CathyGMGrant, and you can find me there as well. So hit me up either one of those ways. But everything's there on the websites for you to get to me. There's nothing hidden. There's no secret passageway, no secret code. It's very transparent, and I'd be more than happy to hear from any and all of you. If you want to hit me up, or if you want to just leave me a comment on my website, you can do that as well. So I appreciate everybody. Thank you, Jacqueline, for this opportunity to run my mouth. I appreciate you. I look forward to our next coffee date.
Oh, absolutely. And so for those who are listening, I hope you had a fantastic moment just understanding about how you can move through the forest and appreciate all the beauty that surrounds you. Thank you so much, Kathy, for letting us know there are ways to become our authentic selves, and we just have to look and listen and believe.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody for listening to Mastermind Radio 101.
Thank you, everyone. God bless.
Enjoy the day.
Yes.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.